Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to Hebrews chapter 6 this morning. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6 this morning. The title of the message is the hardest thing about preaching this message, I think. It's called Trying to Make the Complex Miracle of Salvation Simple. The title's the hardest thing that I'm going to have to say today, I think, but that's what I'm going to try to do. I'm going to try to make salvation simple this morning. I'm going to tell you in just a minute what spurred this message. As a matter of fact, I preached this message before, 12 years ago. So I know all of you remember it. You can't remember what preacher preached last Sunday. Maybe you do. If you took notes, you may have. But if you're like me and you don't take notes, I have no idea. Hebrews chapter 6. We're going to read verses 1 through 6 this morning. As you're finding, if you hadn't found it already, please stand to your feet in honor of the Word of God if you're able. Now, if you're disabled and you can't stand, we understand that. But we're standing to honor the Word of God. That's why we stand this morning. No other reason but that the Bible is being read. And that was what was done in the Old Testament. That's where that comes from. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. That means maturity. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptism, and of laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, and have tasted of the heavenly gift, and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good word of God, and of the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified themselves to the Son of God afresh and put Him to open shame. Let's pray this morning. Father, thank You for the Word of God. Thank You for this opportunity that I have to preach, to fill in for Pastor Johnson. I don't want to waste my time, these folks that are listening's time. I want it to be a helpful time, to take care of matters in our life and what we believe and how we should believe things. So, Holy Spirit, I'm asking for Your help and Your power for this task. Use me to be a help today. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. Hebrews 6:1. This is a very trying verse for some people. You know, when you get past, start on verse 4 and down to verse 6, and we'll get into that a little bit, because I'm going to try to make this subject, simplify it, though salvation is a complex thing. It's so simple that a child can be saved. Our little grandson, you know, he's been saved already, 3-4 years old. It's a simple thing to do, but it is a complex thing. I'll tell you what stirred this message, and this message was, it wasn't even in this building, it was in one of our other buildings. I was talking to a new Christian. He wasn't a young Christian, he was an older man. And somehow we just started talking out in the foyer, and I made the statement to him, isn't it great to know that you're saved, because he just received Christ and it was known in the church. You'd never guess who it is, so stop trying to guess. I might even be making them up. No, it's a real story. And this is how this new Christian responded to me. As long as I am doing right, when I die or the rapture occurs. Antennas went up. He didn't have the understanding of what salvation does for us. Salvation is a mighty thing. It's a great thing. It is one of the greatest things that will ever come into your life. Can I get an amen on that? Good night. It is powerful. It's wonderful. See, in it, salvation is more, we think of salvation as bowing your head and asking Jesus to save you from hell. Yes, it is, but it's a lot more than that. See, salvation is three parts, the Bible teaches us. First part of salvation, when we do bow our head and ask Jesus to come into our heart. We spoke of that in the Sunday school, why we use that phrase, come into our heart. That's the seat. That's the center of all our lives, our emotions, what we believe, why we believe it, our love, our compassion, everything. The first part of salvation is being saved from the penalty of your sin. That's what salvation does. See, you and I have sinned. Can I get at least shake it? Yes. Sure, every one of us in this room has sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Did you know because of that the Bible says the soul that sinneth, it shall die? It says the wages of our sin is death. And God didn't need to write the Bible to tell us we're going to die physically. It's not talking about a physical death. God doesn't need to write the Bible to tell us. He's trying to tell us about a death we can't see. And that in the Bible, in the book of Revelation, calls it the second death, Revelation 20, verse 19 and 20. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. See, salvation saves us from the penalty of our sin. But did you know salvation is something else too? Salvation will save us from the power of sin. When we receive Jesus Christ into our heart, John, in the Gospels of John, chapters 13, 14, and 15, Jesus taught that when I receive Jesus Christ, I get God Himself as the Spirit of God living in me. And when that happens, then we can have victory over the power of sin in our life. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, that doesn't mean it's like the first part. He does the saving. Now, he gives us the Holy Spirit so that we can be saved from the power of sin in our life, trying to ruin and wreck our lives. Salvation also has a third part. I like this part. If you're in this room this morning, you have not experienced this part of salvation. But one day we'll be saved from the presence of sin. Amen. One day we won't have sin around us. We won't have it in our body because we're going to get a new body at the rapture. Or when we die, we're going to leave this body of flesh, this old sinful nature, and we're going to leave it here. We're going to get a temporary, if it's before the rapture or before the final getting the new bodies and living, we'll get a temporary body that we can live away from the presence of sin. That's the best part. I like that. I'm looking forward to that. I think about it a lot as I'm getting older. More and more those thoughts are coming into my head. I have the privilege of visiting a lot of you that are in the hospital when Pastor is not here. And many of you say, I'd just like to go on and be in heaven. That's all right. That's a good thing. Amen? Can I get an amen? If Jesus would come today, everything would be all right. Now, of course, if you're single, you don't want that to happen. I remember when I was in the Navy. Not married, before I met this beautiful woman here that's my bride. I'm thinking, oh Lord, don't let the rapture happen. Now, that was my prayer. Can I get a witness on that? Come on now, a lot of you thought that too. Or something's going on, you're going on a vacation to Hawaii or something. Oh Lord, don't let the rapture occur right now. You know. Yeah, it's one of those good, bad things. But one day, listen, when we ask Jesus to save us, we get saved from the penalty. You know what I'm talking about, the penalty of sin. We do not have to face our sin anymore as far as the east is from the west. God has removed our sin. Nevermore will we meet up with our sin. The sin in the past, the sin on that day, and the future sin, you'll never meet up with it. Then He'll save us from the power of sin. See, sin is powerful. And it's not just the devil. It's our own flesh. See, in us, the book of Romans says that in us, that powerful flesh wants to do what the old man, the wicked man, wants to do, and it's a battle. Can I get an amen on that every day? But with God's help, with the Holy Spirit's help, we can say no to sin and yes to right, and then one day we'll be saved from this old world, the presence of sin in this world, the presence of our fleshly body. See, salvation is a complex thing. I want to try to give us some truths this morning about this great gift of our salvation. Many of you know we got a new vehicle. We got a van. We've come complete circle. Now, that's pitiful. I ought to be driving around in a convertible little T-Bird or something. I'm driving a van. Where's Ari? Oh, there you are. I'm such a good papa. Bless her heart when we had our, what was that thing called? Camry. She'd have to squeeze in there, and she'd be in there with the two car seats. And they only have two kids and back there. And to be honest with you, it was just not convenient. So we got us a van. A van. A van. Now let me say this. This van is the lap of luxury. Let me tell you this now. I did it right, okay? Do you know I'm still finding out things about that van I didn't even realize that were there? You push this little thing, and we thought it was for glasses in the middle, and a mirror drops down, and you can see. I read the manual. I didn't see that. A van. You got a button you can push, and it, instead of, you know, having to turn around, sit down back there. You've got a thing called Easy Speak. You just push it, and it broadcasts it through the PA system. Man, that's nice. I'm finding things out. There's buttons you can push and all kinds of stuff. That's the way it is with our salvation, amen? We're finding things out about our salvation that are just wonderful in our lives. So let me give us some truths about salvation. Number one, truly be saved. We need to truly be saved. Look at verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Did you know I am finding so many people that are truly not saved because they haven't repented. When I first got saved, I really didn't understand this doctrine of what that verse meant. Hebrews is a great verse. It's a high-level education about salvation. But that phrase, repentance from dead works, did you know you can tell God every sin you've ever done and you still will not get saved? When the Bible says repent, as Peter preached at the day of Pentecost, repent, he wasn't talking about from your sins. He was talking about repent from what you believe on how to be saved. Repent from what? Look at it. From dead what? Did you know there's two types of religion in this world? There's the do religion and the done religion. We live on the done religion side. Jesus done it all. But did you know what? There's so many people that think they got to do something. They think that, and that's called doing something, thinks it sounds like it's works is what it is. Did you know there are a lot of people that believe that? There may be people in this room this morning that think it's up to you to keep your salvation safe, secure. You may think this morning that you had to have some part in your salvation. My friend, we need to repent from dead works to be able to go on and understand the simplicity of the gospel. I'm amazed at the people. You hear Pastor Johnson say it all the time, and I run across it all the time. People that have said they're saved and they're truly not saved. You may be one of those people. That may be your testimony this morning. I know it was my wife's testimony. She lied to me. She told me she was a Christian. And after we got married, we're in church. All of a sudden, she's not there. I find out she's in there talking with the pastor. That was the church we were going to while I was in the Navy. She grew up in a church. She was the church pianist. I like that big word. Pianist. She played that there piano right there. That better? She did walk the aisle one time. They saw little Wanda come. They set her down on the front seat right about there. They gave her a piece of paper. She filled out her name, and they put her on a roll. But she never repented from what she believed to be saved and do it God's way. That's how we have to be saved. We truly need to be saved. Are you saved this morning? What is your testimony this morning? I told this to our soul-winning people. I told it maybe to my class. I'm not sure. But I ran into a guy at the at a nursing home. He comes rolling in. He comes rolling in. Ricky. I'm sitting there talking to one of the men that's come to our church recently. He's lost a leg, and I'm sitting there talking to him, encouraging him, making a visit with him. And in comes rolling Ricky. He's got a leg. This guy is a character. He's sharp. I asked Ricky. I said, Ricky, are you sure when you die you're going to go to heaven? Oh, yes, sir. I said, that's wonderful. Anybody tells me, yes, I'm going to heaven? I always ask them, how do you know that? If I ask you right now, how do you know that? What would you tell me? If it's anything, well, I did it. This is what Ricky told me. Oh, yeah. He showed me, pulled his shirt back, and there was where he had an operation where his spleen almost died there and ran off a cliff and all that. And then he was in jail, and he got out of jail, and a car ran him over. Not just once. They ran him over and then backed up and ran him over again. And he lost his leg. And he says on the first time, and I asked him, I said, how do you know you're going to heaven? He said, because my dog saved me. And the dog did save him when he busted his spleen in a wreck. But the trouble is, and as that may seem so wild and far-fetched to us, that how can anybody say that? If I ask you personally, if you died right now, do you know you'll go to heaven? And you said, yes, I'll go. And I ask you, how do you know that? Would it be because you have faith and trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? That's the real simplicity. It's simple. It's not fun to make fun of an old man. It's got to be through the righteousness of God. Turn over, if you turn back, if you would, don't lose your place. Romans chapter 3. Look at this. This is kind of, I'm getting the college education of salvation and trying to bring it, make it simple. But this is it. Look at verse 21, Romans 3, 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, without the works is shown, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. The law pointed to Jesus. The prophets pointed to the coming Savior. It's faith in Christ that saves us. Look at verse 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, there is no difference. Is your testimony anything, or is it short of? If it is not, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior to get me to heaven. My friend, you need to settle that this morning. That's the simplicity of the gospel, the righteousness of God. And then secondly, we need to understand this truth. Know that you'll never lose salvation if you get it. If you truly get saved, you'll never lose salvation. Go back to Hebrews chapter 6, if you would. Let me read those three verses, very, very famous verses. A lot of people not understand it. They even use it to prove you can lose your salvation. But the simplicity of it, it teaches that it's not. Verse 4, for it is, what's the next word, church? Impossible. This is impossible to do. For those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly, what's the next word, gift, and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. See, I think I just explained all that, receiving the Holy Spirit of God. And have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, it's impossible now, remember, if they shall fall away to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify themselves, the Son of God, afresh and put him to open shame. It is impossible. Once you've received Jesus Christ, you've been enlightened, you saw the Word of God, and you trusted God in the Word of God, and you accepted the gift that God has given us, it's impossible for you to fall away. It's impossible to renew you again unto repentance. Why? Here's why. Look at it. Verse 6. Seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus Christ went to the cross one time. He is not going to go again and be sacrificed for anybody's sin. Nobody is going to put Christ back on the side. He is king now. He has paid the penalty. And if you've received Christ, it's impossible for you to be renewed by trusting Jesus again. I know so many people, not a bunch, I know a lot of people, a lot of Christians, bless their heart, they struggle with this. They keep asking Jesus to save them and save them. You know what they do when, you know what we do when we do that? And I've done it myself when I first got saved. Sure. But Hebrews tells us it's like putting Christ afresh, doing it again. Jesus will not go to the cross again. Once was enough, and all we have to do is trust him. Now, when I hear people pray and say, you know, I trust Christ as my Savior. I did it, and I did it before, and I did it before. That bothers me because that tells me somewhere along the line they're not trusting Christ, but they're trusting their works to keep asking. Maybe that's your case. But I can tell you, Jesus went to the cross to die for us one time, and he paid the penalty, and it's a free gift. He will not go again, and he promises he'll seal us until the day of redemption. 2 Corinthians 2:22 says the Holy Spirit seals us. He protects us. And many of you grew up in homes where canning. You know what when I say canning, you know what I'm talking about? Your parents can. How many of you ladies can still? You get the fresh fruit and you do it. I never can, but I'm an expert of eating what's in the can, so I'll let you know that. But I used to see my mom do it. She'd can tomatoes or peaches or whatever, and she'd put those jars out on a towel on the counter. And she wouldn't put the whole lid down there, those mason lids, you know. There's a flat part, it's got a little rubber seal, and then a screw top. She had just set the jars down there, put that rubber seal on top of it, and then all of a sudden, while I'm sitting in there watching TV, I'd hear in the kitchen, pop, pop. And I asked her one day, what is that? She said, that's the top sealing what's inside so it can last forever. That's what the Holy Spirit does to us. When we receive Christ, He seals us. Oh, true, we can grieve the Holy Spirit. Yes, Ephesians talks about us when we do things and He lives in us. We take Him everywhere we go. What we do, what we say, how we act, my friend, Jesus goes with you. He goes right along with you. And we grieve Him when we do things that are not right. But that doesn't mean He takes away that gift. A gift is not a gift if you have to do anything to keep it, or you had to do something to get it. It's not a gift. Look what it says. Go back to verse 4. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly, what's the next word? Gift. It's a gift. It's free. You don't have to do anything for it. You don't have to work for it. You just need to accept it. And my friend, this morning, if you've not accepted it, then you need to do so. This morning, let me ask you a question. How many of you have children, whether they're adults or little ones? Let me see your hand. Raise your hand. I know sometimes you wish they weren't your children. Amen? Can I give an amen on that? Oh, don't be your spiritual. Shake your head, Jamie. I know you. I've seen you with your kids, don't I? But the fact is, those children are our children, whether or not they're good or they're bad. Can I get an amen on that? Why? God made salvation the way He made the home. When we have children, they're our children for life. When we become a child of God, we're His child forever. If you've truly been saved. And then lastly, we have loss of rewards, not loss of our salvation. Look at verse 8. We didn't read this, but I want to read those three verses. Look at verse 8, chapter 6. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected. Briars and thorns, what are they? What kind of material are they? What kind of, can somebody, wood. And is nigh unto cursing. Doesn't say they're cursed. Whose end is to be burned. Well, I'll come back to that. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you. Who's you? Those that have tasted the great gift. They have been enlightened, believed the Word of God. And these things that accompany salvation. We mentioned that. Though we thus speak, for God is not unrighteousness to forget your work and labor of love, which you've shown toward His name. In that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Ladies and gentlemen, we don't lose our salvation, but we can lose some rewards in our salvation. You know, it says right here that all our works will be tried by fire. Look at verse 8. And whose end is to be burned. That doesn't mean burned in hell. That means everything we've done since the day we accepted Jesus Christ. I don't care who you are, how old you are, or what level you are in your salvation, every one of us, our works are going to be put to fire. And the Bible says anything that won't be consumed in a fire, wood, hay, stubble, those consume. We lose that reward. But anything that's precious, like gold, silver, those things will last. And we will be rewarded. Are you living your life thinking that you have to keep yourself saved? What is it? 1 Corinthians 13:3 says, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work, what sort it is. But you say, oh, that just means, Brother Evans, if I'm truly saved, and I can't lose my salvation. That means I can just do whatever I want to do. Oh, yeah, let's take a look at it. Turn to Hebrews, would you, chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, a few pages over. Let's see if that's the truth. Hebrews is a wonderful book. It is a college education on salvation. Let's see if we can just live the way we want to live after we're truly saved. Hebrews chapter 12, look at verse 5. Let's start right there. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you. I lost my place. Hold on. Let me start again. Verse 5. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto, what's the next word? My son, despise not thou the, what's the next word? Chastening of the Lord. What's chastening? Well, you can look it up and see what you want, but it's being paddled. It is, but it's God doing the paddling. And let me tell you something. God knows how to paddle when it hurts, makes it hurt. So that's where we miss it a lot. See, when I spank my grandchild, and I spank my grandchildren, they're with me too much. Now, the ones that came from Napa, I didn't. I just won, but I won't tell you why, but it wasn't much. See, my spankings don't hurt. Matter of fact, when my daughter-in-law, where'd she go? Is she gone? When she spanks them, I just want to go in there and say, can I spank him? Man. I want to know, was I that way? I know I was that way. But God knows how to spank us where it hurts. Let's read on. Let's read on. Let me find my place again. For whom the Lord hateth, he chasteneth. What? It doesn't say that? What's it say? For whom the Lord what? Loveth he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. That's the receiving of Jesus Christ. That's truly being saved. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with, how? As sons, a child. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without, now listen to this. But if you be without chastisement, if you can do the things you do that are wrong against God, what God says not to do, and if you can do it and not be chastened, then the Bible says, then you are bastard. Strong word means illegitimate, not a real son, and not sons. Furthermore, we had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much more rather be in subjection to the Father's spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But he for our suffering. But he for our what? Yeah. You can get saved. Let me tell you something. You can get saved. Some of these people that are taking knees, that disrespecting our flag, our country, and those people that the red in our flag, the blood, some of those people are Christians. So yes, you can do things that are wrong, but let me tell you something. If you're really God's child, then God is going to thump you till you get corrected. It's for our profit, and it says he does. Well, I'm just set my ways, and God and I have an understanding. Hebrews chapter 12, salvation. Man, it's wonderful. It's exciting. Finding new things on that van I didn't even know was there. You can pull a button and bat windows open. They have windows that go down in the side. We never had that before. I even read the manual and I didn't know those things were there. We've got a great salvation, ladies and gentlemen. It's simple, but the trouble is, we complicate it because we don't do it the way God says to do it. Either getting saved, living the Christian life, or our attitude toward it. Where are you this morning in your Christian life? Is he having to thump us? Are things just, why is everything going wrong? Hebrews chapter 12, if you've truly been saved.